I think I'm entitled.
You want answers!
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Would you also like to get federal funding to help put 5,000 more cops on the street in Chicago? Would that help drive down crime?
Well, look, policing by itself is not the full strategy.
No, I understand that. You've talked about the other things you want, and I said those are good and important programs, but I'm asking also, would 5,000 more police officers on the street in Chicago be helpful to go along with all of those social programs that a lot of cities are engaging in and having success with?
Well, look, here's the best way I can put it, Joe, is that in the 90s when I was in high school, we had 3,000 more police officers and we had 900 people being murdered every single year in Chicago. It's just not policing alone.
He will not answer the question. To his credit, MSNBC's Joe Scarborough was questioning Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson. Would 5,000 more police officers on your streets make the city safer? And he wants to talk about rainbows and unicorns and when I was a kid. You're the mayor of a major U.S. city. The assault and crime inside your city, is so high, and you want to just continue to push. Well, you got to look at education. You got to look at food programs. You got to look at what day of the week it is. Give me an effing break. Deal with your crime. Just this last weekend in Chicago, 27 hurt, 6 killed, one of them a 5-year-old. And this kind of stuff is happening in every blue city and state, and unfortunately, again today, in Minneapolis, a Catholic school, children had gathered for mass in the church. A gunman comes through and just opens fire, shooting through the church windows, not even knowing who's on the other side other than kids, adults, Catholics, if that was the target. And they may not all be white either. Don't go down that road. There probably could be minorities of various who have Catholic faith. We do know this. When the shooting was done and it ended with a gunman committing suicide, coward, that's all such shooters are, 2 children died in church pews. Can you imagine? I can't. I'm going to phrase a question, and I'm telling you, I can't imagine it. You send your child to school. You know what their schedule is, and you know at a certain time of day they have mass at this Catholic school. And you're thinking they're in the safest place possible. But blue cities and blue states, the way they have been ineffective, indifferent when it comes to providing safety for citizens, you and your family are never, never safe. Can't count on the authorities to help, even the police officers who want to be there to help. Spread too thin, not enough, or then when they do take action, the leftists come for their head because they find something they did wrong. And of course, the outcry comes immediately from the left. See, we need more control on guns. A variety of weapons was apparently used by the gunman. A shotgun, maybe an assault rifle, as they like to call it. Pistol. Those objects sitting in a car are not going to harm anyone. It's the person who picks them up and means to hurt, maim, kill. Hearts and our prayers go out to the families of those who lost their children sitting in a mass in a church pew, and to the others who were injured. And the Chicago mayor cannot seem to answer a single question. We'll come back to that in a moment. Thanks for joining us for hour number two, Larry Connors, USA. We're here every Monday through Friday for you from 6 to 8 p.m. And reminding you, when we're on the air, we're also streaming video. You can watch the program. We make it very easy. Go to Newstalk STL Rumble, Facebook, or Twitter. Larry Connors, USA, Rumble, or Facebook. And everything goes up later as a podcast, video and audio, available at Newstalk STL, LarryConnorsUSA.com, LarryConnorsUSA Facebook. We're going to be there for you. You can search any other platform you want. You type in Larry Connors USA, you will get the program you're listening to right now as a podcast at that point. And with Larry Connors USA, we do, just like the station, provide you news, analysis, opinion, and I'm making sure we add education. You will leave this hour with more knowledge than you had as we began it. So let's go back to Joe Scarborough of MSNBC, a true lefty, questioning the Chicago mayor, would 5,000 more police officers help you? There's the question. The answer is somewhere in the outer zone.
Do you believe that the streets of Chicago would be safer if there were more uniformed police officers on the streets of Chicago?
I believe the city of Chicago and cities across America would be safer if we actually had, you know, affordable housing. Look, okay, but I'm not saying that
that's not the question I asked. My question is, and I just need a yes or a no, do you believe the streets of Chicago would be safer if you got all of those other extraordinary programs put back into place, which do have a history of being successful, if that's complemented by having 5,000 more cops on the streets of Chicago?
I don't believe that we should narrow it down to just police officers, Joe, is what I'm saying. That is an antiquated approach.
The antiquated approach is law enforcement, rule of the West. If that's antiquated, then that's what we need. They want to talk about, we need more counselors. We need more people to go out and help deal with these people. Who do you want to send to talk to a man who wants to go berserk and shoot up a Catholic mass with children inside of it? Do you want to send someone who has a gun to put a stop to them? Or do you want to send some young kid out of college that has a social psychology degree of some type and you think that they will bring an end to it? They're going to be among the victims. And yet the left is so hell-bent on the Trump derangement syndrome. They would rather Americans die than admit that Trump stopped the violence in D.C. by sending in the National Guard and federalizing the police department. Now, will it come back at some point? The crime, of course. But if you continue to tap it down, you continue to show that you're going to be in their face and they will pay for their crime, then it will change the picture, if not immediately, overall. And yet you get idiots also on MSNBC, like Chris Hayes, who says the real danger here is not Trump protecting us, but Trump himself.
Good evening from New York. I'm Chris Hayes. Donald Trump, the president of these United States, wants to be a dictator. He is trying to be a dictator. He said it multiple times this week. Today, he explained why a lot of people, I think in his own head, think he should be a dictator because he's stopping all the crimes.
So the line is that I'm a dictator, but I stop crime. So a lot of people say, you know, if that's the case, I'd rather have a dictator. But I'm not a dictator. I just know how to stop crime.
Ah, yes, Donald Trump, tough on crime. It just depends on who's doing the crime, doesn't it? Beyond all his administration's lies and the mobilization of federal law enforcement in Los Angeles and Washington and members of the U.S. military, Donald Trump is the most unabashedly pro-criminal, pro-crime president of my lifetime.
Most pro-criminal, most pro-crime president of his lifetime? There is not a single fact to back up that piece of garbage. But he just puts it out there because his audience, dwindling as they are, sucks it up as if that's something they need to live on and breed on. And they will, unfortunately. But he makes a statement like that, and he just goes unchallenged. Not here. Not here. We're going to take them apart each and every time. And back to Joe Scarborough, still trying to get a question answered by the Chicago mayor.
Would an additional 5,000 cops on the streets in Chicago help complement those programs to make Chicago safer?
Look, we are working hard to make sure that our police department is fully supported. I don't believe that just simply putting out an arbitrary number around police officers is the answer. What I'm saying is policing and affordable housing. It's policing and mental and behavioral health care services. It's policing and youth employment. It's a full package. Of course, we want to make sure that our police department is fully supported. That's why I've invested in our detectives bureau, because what we have seen in the city of Chicago, when we solve crime, it acts and serves as a deterrent. It's policing and all of the other efforts that we're doing.
That statement I will accept as a fact. When you solve a crime, it serves as a deterrent. Maybe. And yes, adding to your detective force so they can have enough people to investigate the crimes is good, providing you're going to have judges and prosecutors get away from cashless bail and just trying to ignore things. What would you say, though, to the parents of those children shot dead while they're at a mass in Minneapolis praying at the Annunciation Catholic School? One response of someone that saw this says this is incomprehensible cowardice. And it is. These children at a prayer mass, shot dead and others injured because of the attitude and the lack of understanding police and policing, as you heard exhibited by Chicago Mayor Johnson, is the same at every blue city and state. And this shooting took place nearby where the DNC, Democrat National Committee, is holding their summer session. They actually had to interrupt the event to announce there's been a school shooting nearby. And I know many of those on the left immediately start saying, see, we need more controls on guns. Do you think a criminal is going to pay attention to an additional law on a gun when we have adequate laws? You do know it's against the law to kill by whatever means. I'm listening there to Mayor Johnson still evading the question directly from Joe Scarborough. And if I had a hammer, I would have been hitting myself in the head. Thank God I didn't. Now, in the New York City mayor's race, there's another issue that's coming up, and crime is part of it. I'll come to that in a moment. But first, there are legitimate questions about who is funding the socialist Marxist Mondami. GOP candidate Curtis Sliwa says, we need answers.
I want to check to see on Zoran Mandami's donors if, in fact, they're bringing in dark money from overseas. I would suggest that the Justice Department immediately look into that, because all of a sudden, from being such a favorite of so many people in New York City, he can't seem to raise money in New York City. He's exhausted that supply. Why it makes sense that he would have not only Soros money, which we know he has, but maybe dark money. Let's investigate that. Let's find out if I am correct or if I am incorrect. But I have a feeling that's what's happening in this election cycle.
I think he's right, and I would not be surprised. that George Soros and others are helping him bring people in to vote in the New York City mayoral election. And even Andrew Cuomo, former governor who's running for mayor, is questioning what is happening here. And one of the things that Mondami has had to back away from, he really wanted to stop a lot of policing activity. He knew that would appeal to his base audience. One thing would decriminalize misdemeanor crimes. They were all, hey, that's great, that's great. You know what misdemeanor crimes, how many crimes fall under that category, depending on the level of the crime? Trespassing, that's prosecutable. Drug possession, that's a misdemeanor crime until you reach a certain level. Driving under the influence is a misdemeanor crime until you crash and kill someone. Assault, domestic violence, indecent exposure. A man walks up, drops his frontal nudity in front of a bunch of children. That's a misdemeanor. And they want all of that to be lifted off the books so no one will be arrested for that kind of behavior. The voters of New York City, even those that fall into the AOC-type category, if they really do a full, detailed analysis and evaluation, they will realize we do not want to go down that street. But as it is, they're just following the Pied Piper, Mondani. Although he's got to change his tune a little bit, because some are recognizing we can't really decriminalize all these misdemeanor crimes. Mondami simply wants to turn New York City into another Marxist, communist territory. And the New Yorkers who are going to support him, you're going to have some splaining to do when it all blows up in your face. Before we wrap up this hour, Cracker Barrel rethinks that bad decision. Yes, they finally realized, yeah, maybe we cannot push wokeness upon our patrons. But first, Daniel Greenfield on domestic enemies. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
I want to tell you more about Wellington Environmental's dustless blasting services. Wellington can blast paint, grease, graffiti, even stripes off parking lots. Truly amazing and powerful. But can Wellington blast something more sensitive? Yes, Wellington can use dry ice to blast soot and odors off smoke-damaged surfaces right after a fire. Currently, Wellington uses dry ice to clean mold off wood inside a home. Why? Well, dry ice immediately disappears, turns into a vapor. That means no mess to clean up, no damaged surfaces. You need to check with Wellington, always researching and practicing with new, better, faster, safer equipment and products for you. And it's very easy to schedule an estimator for your next project. Call Cindy, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. 4930. Be well with Wellington. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving, 314-241-0600, 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate, McGuireMoving.com. Another day must be another roofer in town. John Beal and I were talking. He said, you know, every time you turn around, there's a new roofing company. Many of them have no idea what they're doing, and the statistics show that many will be out of business within 2 to 5 years. Who are you going to call to help you then? You need to remember only one name, John Beal. John Beal Roofing. You have a problem, he can take care of it, and we'll be here for you. John Beal Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. I've got a great evening planned for you. We start with dining at the Oak Street Inn Lounge in Connellville. We enjoy sunset on the rooftop, then down to the speakeasy. Just one visit, you're going to see why I'm always talking about the Oak Street Inn and Lounge. Plus, you might want to plan a staycation, a romantic getaway. Check out OakStreetInnAndLounge.com for various events this summer. Oak Street Inn and Lounge, Connellville. Oak Street Inn and Lounge, Connellville.
This is News Talk STL. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. My guest is Daniel Greenfeld. He is the CEO of the David Horowitz Freedom Center. He has a book out I want to discuss before we wrap up our conversation. Domestic Enemies, the Founding Fathers Fight Against the Left. Had you thought that far back about how our founding fathers were facing leftists at the time? Daniel, welcome aboard. Glad to have you with us.
As always, glad to be here. Thank you.
Now, when we booked this yesterday, we did not know what was going to happen this morning in Minneapolis. A gunman going crazy and shooting into a church mass filled with children, killing two, injuring others. Your response to that before we go forward?
Well, this is what President Trump has been talking about. You've got Democrat cities, you've got left-wing cities, you've got pro-crime cities, where violence is out of control, and the solution is not gun control. The solution is to actually lock up the criminals. Minneapolis has been one of the cities that has enabled crime on a large scale. They went out, they defunded the police, they opened up the prisons, they sent a message to the police that the mayor, that the city government does not have their backs, and this is just the latest horrific incident that is continuing to happen. Whether it's Minneapolis, whether it's Chicago, whether it's New York City, there's been a failure of law and order, and President Trump has promised to bring back law and order to outraged howls of protests from the politicians that have enabled this reign of terror.
But these leftists fight against Trump. In fact, before you join us, I was running a clip of one of the MSNBC hosts that was claiming directly that Trump is wanting to be a dictator because he wants to put, Chris Hayes, as a matter of fact, he wants to put federal police and National Guard troops everywhere.
You know what? They want to be like Europe so much. Europe's crime problem has become so bad that in countries like France, they do have troops in the street. And they have troops in the street because things have completely spun out of control. And this is starting to happen in America now. And federal troops are obviously not the solution. The solution is to have city governments that do their jobs. The solution is to have clean elections. But right now, we do not have that. What we have is criminals are just being enabled, that are just being permitted to run rampant. For example, a few days ago, President Trump signed an executive order ending so-called cashless bail, which means criminals get arrested, they're right back out on the street. In New York City, you have criminals with over 100 arrests. They're arrested hours after they're arrested the last time because they get out, they commit more crimes, and there's no meaningful way to stop any of this. So we need a national solution. We need to actually bring back a functioning justice system. We need to lock up the criminals. Otherwise, this is never going to end, and it's only going to get worse.
To your point, there was a suspect in another crime in D.C. the other day saying, look, the judge is going to say, and the guy was arrested for carjacking, said, I'm going to be put on a 3-day hold. Once that 3-day hold is up, ain't nobody going to show up to prosecute me. I'll walk free again. I've been to the D.C. jail 6 times for the same warrant. They never show up, so the jail has to release me. every time. That's what they do. This is a criminal admitting, I get to do what I want and walk back out on the street.
Yeah, this is exactly what's happened. We talk about why is crime so high? Well, this is why. You have a so-called casus belli. You have mandatory diversion. You have diversion in general, which means they're not actually being locked up. You have prosecutors that don't prosecute. You have judges that are very happy to free all these people because they started out as public defenders themselves and they believe that the criminals are the victims. And you have cities that are so overwhelmed by the resulting crime that they can't even function. Clearance rates, even for homicides, are something like 30% in some of these cities, which means most murders do not get solved, which means go ahead and kill people. As long as nobody sees you, you are home free.
And to that extent, you wrote an article for Front Page Magazine the other day, part of the Horowitz Foundation publication. After that five-year-old got killed last weekend, immediately Chicago politicians are condemning Trump for trying to maybe send federal troops into Chicago.
You know, Chicago is, there's a reason they call it Chirac. It's a war zone. Over 1,000 people have been shot so far this year, approaching 200 people shot in August so far. This is absolutely a war zone. Children are being killed. People are being killed left and right. Somebody gets shot every 4 hours. You know, Ukraine is safer than this. And what's the response when President Trump proposes to crack down on it? Well, they go ahead. They have their protest rally. Governor Pritzker wants to be the next vice president, comes out and fumes and warns President Trump not to actually fight crime, not to send in the troops. And Mayor Brandon Johnson appoints the Shio Bidi, who is an anti-police litigator, as his director of strategy. So these people are doubling down on supporting criminals. They're doubling down on women, men, children being killed in their own streets. They're doubling down on somebody being shot every 4 hours. This is what the Democratic Party now stands for.
And I've been suggesting these Democrats, these leftists that go for all of this, they should be willing to go before a judge and sign documents saying, I'll take this criminal into my house. I'll watch over them. I'll be responsible for their actions going forward. But they're not going to do it because they don't want them in their house, their neighborhood, but let them roam the streets and get someone else.
What I always say is they never wanted to fund the police protecting them. Mamdani was running for mayor in New York City. He's got a security detail of police officers.
He
He's got four police officers protecting him.
Yeah.
They never want to defund their police. J.B. Pritzker, governor of Illinois, is a billionaire. He has nothing to worry about. These people live in private communities. They live surrounded by security. They want to inflict their experiments on the rest of us, not on themselves.
You're listening to Daniel Greenfield. CEO of the David Horowitz Freedom Center. I want to talk about your book, Domestic Enemies, The Founding Fathers Fight Against the Left. Explain how the Founding Fathers, when they were putting our nation together, already recognized what the left would be and become.
Well, the left was already there because there was this big crisis. There were two revolutions, the American Revolution, which was dedicated to the idea that you would have small government, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and the French Revolution, which was dedicated to something very, very different that we today call equity, that they back then called democracy, which was that the government would impose equality, would enforce equality, would make everybody equal by removing anybody who was at all better, by forcing everybody into the same little box. And to do that, they had to kill thousands and tens of thousands of people. And by the end of the Reign of Terror, France was soaked in blood and it was no closer to being an equal society. So the Founding Fathers looked at that and they said, dear God, we did not want this in this country. But there were leftists in America, radicals, who absolutely said, we need to bring this to America. And those were called Democrats. Back then, they founded something called Democratic Societies to support the French Revolution and to bring it to America. And the Founding Fathers, the framers of our Constitution, fought against this. George Washington actually led troops as president against one of their insurgencies. And this is something that I discuss in Domestic Enemies. It's the fact that we've been fighting the left all along. The left had the same agenda as it has now, which is to expropriate property, to abolish religion, to abolish marriage, to create the new society by destroying everything that existed, to create a utopia. And it always ends in terror. It always ends in blood. And the left has learned nothing from it. And we've unfortunately forgotten too much of our actual history that we don't remember, that we've had these fights, we've had these struggles over and over again for 200 years plus.
I'm glad you pointed it out in the book because it does underscore the fact that even then we had that approach underway. And if the Founding Fathers had not written the Constitution in such a way you know, it would have gone left from the beginning.
Well, indeed, one of the reasons we have the Constitution is because there were certain leftist state governments that were actually trying to conduct experiments in abolishing private property and having government-controlled ownership of industries, which is socialism. And one of the things the Constitution did was crack down on that.
And guarantee your freedom, your freedom. Now, we have seen how that is also abused to the fact that the other day President Trump had to sign an executive order that you could not burn the U.S. flag, but had to also admit it still will probably be protected under Constitution, First Amendment, free speech.
Yeah, we have to make it very clear that this kind of behavior, there's something fundamentally wrong with the kind of people who burn flags. This is something that we should absolutely oppose. And, you know, when we have foreigners coming into America, particularly those who are not citizens, who don't actually have long-term resident status, this should be an absolutely a basis for denaturalization, deportation. Denaturalize these people if they've actually gotten any kind of status in this country. Deport them if they don't.
And I have to admit, I am a First Amendment guy, and even with time in the Marines, I'd have to say, yes, you have the right under the Constitution, freedom of speech, but why do you want to burn it? And in fact, if I'm there, I might actually decide to fight you for doing it.
Yeah, you know, there was a time when American patriots would show up to stand up to these people back in the day. These days, they are, you know, they're able to rush mob ground zero with their hate. They're able to burn down flags, tear down statues, and nobody stands up to them. And that's almost as big of a problem.
Do you think we're turning the corner? We're only 7 months into the Trump administration.
I think he's made far more of an impact than anybody thought that he could. But obviously, this is a huge crisis. This is a huge problem. The left has had generations to work its evil, and we need actual real change on the ground. Executive orders are great, but, you know, the next administration can easily reverse them. We need actually Congress to do its job, and we need legislators locally. We need voters to do their job also, to elect the right people. Too many people stay home. They don't vote. They give up on elections, and that's also a root cause of the problem.
Amen. Thank you again, Daniel Greenfield, CEO, CEO for the David Horowitz Freedom Center. Thanks again, sir.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I've got a phone number for you and a website where you can take a free, quick survey to learn how to use artificial intelligence, AI, to put your company on a fast track to the future. Here's the number. It's a 636 area code, 636-689-0545, 689-0545. This is PRI Global. And recently, the St. Louis Business Journal named PRI Global as a leading IT consulting company. 25 years working with hundreds of companies, several Fortune 500, locally and around the world. PRI Global has its own AI lab to develop what's best for your company. Take the free survey and be on your way to the future. 636-689-0545, 689-0545, or go direct PRIGlobal.ai, PRIGlobal.ai. Hey, looking for windows that solve your problems and actually add value to your home? Renewal by Anderson. Anderson products increase your home value by at least 15%. Right now, get $329 off every window, $729 off every patio or entry door, and ask about our zero interest plan for 3 years. Renewal by Anderson, the full-service replacement division of Anderson. That's a name you've trusted for more than 122 years. Renewal by Anderson has FiberX frames, 20% stronger than vinyl, built to last. It's why we have more five-star reviews than anyone in St. Louis. And only Renewal by Anderson backs it up with the nation's best warranty. Schedule your complimentary consultation, rbastl.com, or call 877-WINDOWS, 877-WINDOWS. Renewal by Anderson, superior products, exceptional service.
Yeah. You've worked hard for your money, so protect it. Meet my friend Bob Leslie and ask about the Gain and Retain plan. Leslie Consulting, 40 years in the St. Louis area as a leader in brokerage and risk management. Call 314-721-0066, 721-0066. Oh, and ask Bob how he was the L.A. Dodger number one pick. LeslieConsulting.com.
This is News Talk STL.
Well, they used to make a living off of bathtub gin. When the hippie showed up, weed was in. Well, they profit off of weakness and they always have. Now meth is a recipe for cold hard cash. Something's cooking and it just ain't right.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Another big story is Cracker Barrel. They have gone back to the old logo. They listen to you, the customer. Here's a quote from the restaurant. We thank our guests for sharing your voices and love for Cracker Barrel. We said we would listen, and we have. Our new logo is going away, and our old timer will remain. At Cracker Barrel, it's always been and always will be about serving up delicious food, warm welcomes, and the kind of country hospitality that feels like family. As a proud American institution, our 70,000 hardworking employees look forward to welcoming you to our table soon.
And this, of course, came after President Trump issued a truth message of his own yesterday, which went everywhere. And apparently the CEO of Cracker Barrel called the president yesterday to thank the president for his message, urging Cracker Barrel to quit all of their ridiculous changes.
Now, when they say the CEO, that Fox report, I don't know if they're talking about the CEO that was in charge of making the change, or maybe a new CEO that didn't identify by name. But let me give you some backstory on this. And I'm going to refer to a Fox News article. They've done good research on it. And it points out Cracker Barrel slide into a rebranding debacle began with a phone call at 4:30 in the afternoon on May 16, 2024. May. That day, Cracker Barrel's new CEO, Julie Felice Mocino, got on the phone with investors and unveiled details of, quote, a strategic transformation plan that her board of directors had approved. Again, this is 2024, last May. Adding that the first of five pillars in the plan would be refining and evolving the brand across all touch points. What does that mean? That is corporate language for BS. Then over the next months, Mocino and her board of directors dismissed at least four different warnings by one of their top investors who said the rebranding is obviously folly. That was apparently in some of the filings with the Securities and Exchange Commission. One of their prime investors, stockholders, says this is foolish to go forward. They didn't listen. He wrote a 7-page letter to shareholders. Cracker Barrel is not a broken brand, but it has a broken board. Boy, was he right. He laid out criticisms in a 120-page slide deck presentation with the title, Cracker Barrel is in Crisis, next to the company's longtime logo of an old man in overalls leaning on a barrel. That's the logo Mocino wanted to wipe out. That was unbeknown to the stockholder at that point. He just knew what they were trying to change everything up. They were going to become, quote, more diverse, more equitable, more inclusive. All of that reads more racist. They looked at Cracker Barrel as a bunch of crackers, a bunch of rednecks sitting around. We're going to open the doors up to all people. I have been in Cracker Barrels. I have seen people of all economic strata and racial strata and heritage. They came for the food. They didn't come for a sermon. They didn't come to be anointed. They didn't come to be raised up as pride of the country or their nation. They went for food and entertainment for their kids at the time. The Fox News article continues. The dynamics of the company executives were pursuing politically correct woke rebranding. And they say it's all now well documented. A timeline of the last year and a half behind the scenes showing a corporate myopia. Basically seeing only what's in front of them. Ignoring caution and barreling forward with rigidity. They go back to the phone call of May 2024. Massino announced she had hired a new leading branding agency to refine and strengthen positioning to delight existing and new guests. It was not going to be for the new, for the existing guests. It was to chase them out. We don't need them. The other pillars included, quote, enhancing the menu, evolving the store and guest experience, winning in digital and off-premises, elevating the employee experience. Well, the San Antonio, Texas venture capitalist, sometimes nicknamed Big, did not buy, as is written here, the corporate gobbledygook. He has been one of the company's largest investors beside BlackRock Incorporated, GMT Capital, the Vanguard Group, and so forth. He also owns Maxim Magazine, which did endorse Trump in 2024, and Steak and Shake, and another national restaurant chain. He has not responded to any request for comment. But Monday, Cracker Barrel issued a statement that, quote, we could have done a better job sharing who we are, but did not indicate it was going to reverse course. Not then. Investors did not like the news. The share price fell to $48.98. Within an instant, they lost $149 million value. This investor is the son of a former military officer born in Tehran. And in 1977, he and his family fled to San Antonio after the Ayatollah came into power. So he worked at his family's Persian carpet store, built business as a teenager, and then in his 20s created an investment firm. I want you to stop and think about this for a moment. This is somebody who left Iran, came to America, the land of opportunity and freedom. You're not going to be held back. It may not all be equal for everyone all the time, but you have equal opportunity if you apply yourself. And he did. Some labeled him a bully at the time. Others said he was an evil genius. Early into his investment in Cracker Barrel, he created a website for his critiques, enhancedcrackerbarrel.com. Cracker Barrel responded on a webpage devoted to investors. Will the CEO and the board move forward to hire this chief marketing officer who had been with MGM Resorts International? And they doubled down on expensive store remodelings and refreshing. And in the 2024 annual report released last September, diversity, equity, and inclusion section featured seven business resource groups for promoting diverse members, black leaders, Hispanic, Latino culture, LGBTQ plus awareness, military veterans, and women's leaders. They threw all that in there, thinking, look, we got military leaders in there. You should be for that. We have Hispanic, Latino culture. To my knowledge, Cracker Barrel does not have a single Mexican dish on the menu that I can recall. If they do, good. I like Mexican food, but I also like just good old cornbread and beans and stuff like that, and chicken fried steak. The main stockholder, or the one that's been complaining about this, fought back. He said, Cracker Barrel is facing perilous times. This is in a letter he wrote in October of 2024. And he pointed out the problem has not been in seating, but in getting more people to sit in the seats. We do not believe changing the furniture, altered the decor, are going to change the company's trajectory or solve our underlying problem of declining traffic. See, we're not in need of a transformation. We're in dire need of a turnaround. And he warned that Cracker Barrel was at a critical infection, or rather inflection point, marked by shareholder value destruction and a flawed board that was responsible for the current malaise. The CEO and the board ignored the warnings from this major stock investor. He later wrote an even sharper two-page statement. If you had $100 in Cracker Barrel stock in January 2019, 5 years later, it's worth $30. Therefore, there's just $30 to go before the entire investment is lost. He said the board members circled the wagons around the management team. They denied that they were making a mistake, and they only went farther down and doubled down. And he said, let me make my position clear. The company's $700 million remodel plan will not work. But they were all hell-bent, and I'm adding this, not his statements. They were hell-bent on promoting DEI and everything else that went with it. They were going to steamroll over it, and the customers would come. The existing customers have turned their back on it. And now Cracker Barrel issuing a statement today, and supposedly the CEO, which one, I don't know, called Trump, said, thank you for calling it to our attention. We want to go back to being a welcome place of hospitality for everyone. But I'm telling you, in the back of their minds, they're still going to do what they can to jack it around. Meanwhile, go enjoy a good country fried steak. I would. I really would. I shouldn't, but I would. You know, sometimes the leftist has something to say that is so far out of it, it deserves repeating. Not to make the statement appear more legitimate, but to showcase the stupidity of the leftist making the remark. This case, MSNBC, Chris Hayes.
Good evening from New York. I'm Chris Hayes. Donald Trump, the president of these United States, wants to be a dictator. He is trying to be a dictator. He said it multiple times this week. Today, he explained why a lot of people, I think in his own head, think he should be a dictator because he's stopping all the crimes.
So the line is that I'm a dictator, but I stop crime. So a lot of people say, you know, if that's the case, I'd rather have a dictator. But I'm not a dictator. I just know how to stop crime.
Ah, yes, Donald Trump, tough on crime. It just depends on who's doing the crime, doesn't it? Beyond all his administration's lies and the mobilization of federal law enforcement in Los Angeles and Washington and members of the U.S. military, Donald Trump is the most unabashedly pro-criminal, pro-crime president of my lifetime.
Pro-criminal, pro-crime president of my lifetime. If I had this idiot in front of me, I'd grab him by the neck. Oh, I'm sorry, I shouldn't do that. Chris Hayes, I keep my hands off of you. But I would grab you by the neck verbally. Give me one case where it shows Trump is pro-crime. Give me one. He sent the National Guard in to D.C. to prevent and reduce crime, and it's been successful so far. And yes, so far has to be added. Pete Hegseth told the National Guard, you're allowed to carry your weapons. Police are carrying weapons in D.C., so the National Guard should have them as well. They're trained to use them. Rules of engagement haven't been stated, but obviously are, if fired upon, you can return fire. If you need to open fire to stop something, then do so. But just like with a police officer, you better be justified. And then when Trump says, maybe we need to do the same thing in Chicago and other blue cities, Minneapolis, he gets pushed back by these leftists. And people like Chris Hayes saying, you're trying to be a dictator. You're trying to take over our country. But I'm willing to bet their parents at a Catholic school in Minneapolis today that wish National Guard troops had been outside that church, because as the kids were in class for their mass in the church, some crazed man came by and started opening fire, shooting through the glass, not caring who got hit. Two children died in the church pews. And the leftists say, we need more gun control. So what did you learn this hour? And remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.